What up, Long Beach? Like we've been saying and will be saying for a while, hope you and yours are healthy and happy. This is going to be our attempt at a Long Beach sports podcast in these very strange times.
Very strange times, to say the least. We're recording downtown Long Beach, the empty streets of the city, here at the offices of the Long Beach Post, where the people outside of this studio are doing much more important work than what JJ and I usually do.
Well, we cover the Long Beach schools, right? Not just the sports. So we've got a lot of pertinent information for the LBC. As always, I'm JJ Fiddler, and more than 6 feet across the table, he's Mike Garabasio.
I think we're in an abundance of caution, which is the catchphrase of the week. In an abundance of caution, we're a good 8 feet away?
Yes.
Yeah. So this will be, this is going to be a different show, obviously, for the foreseeable future. But I think what we want to do today is, the last time we spoke with you guys was a very different world. I think we want to make sure everyone's got the most up-to-date information that we have.
A reset. We're going to give it a little reset because the last time we spoke was a week ago. And about a week ago, things seemed a lot different.
Everything was different. And then we're obviously getting a ton of questions from people who want to know what we think about how this is going to shake out. We can try and get into that a little bit as well. But last Wednesday when we recorded, as of that moment, the Moore League was planning on going forward with sports.
With no spectators.
We recorded on Thursday last week, correct?
Yes. So it was no spectators was the idea because at that point – it was still school on. But then once school got canceled, that all changed.
And we woke up Thursday morning of last week thinking that we were covering the Big West tournament.
In Anaheim at the Honda Center with no fans.
A Long Beach State men's volleyball match, which over the course of the day went from regular fans to fan precautions to no fans. And that the Moore League schedule would be continuing with no spectators. Within 24 hours of us recording, everything was canceled. The school district announced on Friday that they would be shutting down through April 20th, which is a 5-week break. To give you a sense of how long the last 5 days has been, I saw a lot of parents criticizing that shutdown as being too long. And the governor came out last night and said it's actually probably going to be longer. So the school district shut down. They canceled all sports, including Friday's events that they'd originally planned. Even in the shutdown, they said, okay, we'll finish out Friday's stuff.
When we posted the podcast last week, we were ready to go cover events on Friday with no
baseball
spectators.
Baseball games, swim meets.
On campuses.
Yeah. And those obviously got shut down on that same day. Just to give people a sense of how complete the shutdown is, by school district mandate, but obviously also by state and CDC guidelines, there are no games happening. There are no practices or workouts allowed for the same social distancing reasons that everything else has been discussed.
Doors are locked.
Yeah.
Gates are closed.
And there's just no way to describe. I think the closest analogy I've had was that you're running as fast as you can, and then suddenly you go over the edge of the cliff, and your legs are still moving, but there's nothing underneath you. Like, these schedules shape people's lives. They shape the students' lives. They shape the coaches' lives, our lives, the parents' lives. And to suddenly go, I don't know about you, Jade. I'm still getting the calendar alerts on my phone every day I wake up and I go, oh, high school volleyball match, podcast recording, and you just go, whoop, nope, none of that's happening anymore. It's really a bizarre feeling.
It's also a bizarre view. You took a bunch of pictures driving around to different campuses for a story we're about to talk about. And it reminds me of that first scene of Vanilla Sky, the movie with Tom Cruise, where he's driving to work and no one's there, but it takes him a second to kind of realize it. When you are driving down the street and you see cars, it looks normal, but then you hit the Long Beach State parking lot and you're like, this is not normal.
Yeah, so before we talk about what the school district is doing right now, let's just talk about that empty spaces thing. I mean, I'm the story I'm doing for the Post this week on the sports side is about how historic this shutdown is. This has never happened. This did not happen for World War II. This did not happen for Vietnam. A shutdown of this length did not happen for the September 11th attacks, which we were both seniors in high school for. Like, they shut sports down for about 2 weeks, but I didn't miss 30 seconds of school for that.
We're going to talk about the LB Fee show in just a minute, but I think Andy Fee put it perfectly where he's like, September 11th was an event. It was a thing that happened and then we were reacting to it.
This event is not
a reaction. This is an ongoing situation.
We might not be reacting to it for several months.
Right.
But even if you go back to, a lot of people are talking about the Spanish flu in the late 19-teens, That did not shut down Long Beach schools for nearly the length of time that this looks like it's going to shut them down. For whatever reason, that just obviously the society was not as interconnected then as it is now.
Yeah, it's stacked on top of each other.
Yeah, and it never, well, right. You know, you certainly didn't have like high school students, you know, doing international travel in 1918 or whatever.
Yeah.
And the city didn't really get shut down. In fact, like there are in the Polly and Wilson yearbooks for those years, they're sort of, the kids are kind of making fun of like, oh, the Pasadena kids didn't want to play football this year because they got the flu. And I was like, well, it was actually the biggest pandemic that had ever happened in global history at that point. But kids in Long Beach, they weren't affected by it the way that kids now are.
And let's be honest, they wouldn't see it either. How are you getting news from Pasadena, they weren't on Twitter, let alone anywhere else in the world?
So, you know, but that's what I thought about. Like, I'm looking at Bertram Field at Poly, which is never gone 4 weeks without someone competing on it since literally before World War One. This has never happened that there was a shutdown like this on that field. You look at Stevens Field at Wilson High School, you know, these are the two, probably the two oldest continuously used sports facilities in the city. And neither one of them have ever been shut down.
The school
might be out of session. People are still practicing there. The mornings, the daytime, the afternoons, the evenings.
The afternoons when you and I were over there covering an event where another event or practice was going on, where the practices was actually wrapping around the track and all that stuff. Like, those afternoons on campus, in the spring specifically, when everything's happening, was like the lifeblood of our jobs and really like the lifeblood of after-school activities on all of those campuses. And that includes so many people, from students to teachers and parents.
Yeah, I mean, I think you and I have made this comment to each other when we were at, I always think especially Poly and Wilson, because they're the two biggest enrollment schools, the oldest, you know, they have the most history. You go out on any of those fields in the middle of the afternoon in the springtime, and it is, it's a beehive. I mean, there's people everywhere. You have football players working out, track and field teams going,
even a little
soccer teams doing postseason workouts, lacrosse is going now, softball, baseball.
Even a little bit in the winter when the spring sports start doing their stuff is when it feels like, oh, okay, now the real sports season has started. The spring is always the most busy.
Right.
And it felt like that specifically at those moments. And I thought that's why one of the pictures that you took of Stevens Field on Wilson's campus from the baseball field side really showed how empty this feeling is. The picture was worth more than 1,000 words.
Yeah, I think as we're trying to like wrap our brains around this reality, these visual cues are, for me at least, have been so important, because it's one thing to hear there's a shutdown. It's another thing to go, wait, I'm looking at empty fields that have literally not gone a week empty in 100 years. It's never happened. And to see that, to see a park on the east side of Wilson empty of cars, no one's parked there, that doesn't happen at 1 o'clock in the morning in July. Mm-hmm. Like, it's never empty. Same thing, like the Poly student lot was empty. You and I go to Long Beach State to record yesterday. I've never seen in my life, and I learned to drive literally in the parking lot at Long Beach State because of how open it is in the summer. I've never seen it with no cars in it, though. You know, I mean, it's just, you're seeing movie, like images you'd only see in movies, right?
Yeah.
You know, that, and I think that's what sort of gives it that skin crawly, eerie feeling to me. You know, I was just driving down Shoreline looking at all the Grand Prix stuff. And when they said they halted construction, they mean they halted it.
Yes.
You know, you've got cables up and the roll cage poles, but with no cage on it. So it's just the pole and the cable all the way down Shoreline. You've got the bleachers are just, the grandstands are half built. And there's now people living underneath the grandstands, you know? So it's just, it really, I don't know. I agree with you. It's worth 1,000 words. Because it's like, I think you almost need to see it to kind of start to process what's happening.
Well, let's move the breaking news to the top of the show and roll off that. That Grand Prix news just came in today. Actually, the Grand Prix didn't, though they postponed, they didn't cancel the race because they didn't really know what IndyCar was going to do.
They were hoping to be able to postpone it to October. Yeah. The event's taken place in April for 46 years. They're hoping to postpone to October, and they today basically just said,
well, the marquee race is the IndyCar, so you kind of have to go with what IndyCar is doing. And yes, once that got settled, they're now not going to run the Grand Prix in 2020. They are officially starting planning the 46th annual Grand Prix,
which was supposed to be this year. It's not annual anymore. It's just the 46th Grand Prix.
The word annual really taking it on the chin lately. It's now in 2021. And you're right. The loss of money alone turns heads when news like that happens. millions of dollars for the city of Long Beach is going to be lost because that event is not coming to the city. But yeah, it's like if we're doing the things out of TV and movies, it's like that TV show The Leftovers from HBO, where like half the people just disappeared. That's what it looks like because somebody was rolling that cage and then they just stopped.
And then they stopped and they went home. You know, I mean, yeah, and they're not going to come back and finish it, obviously. Have you had any other experiences? We've obviously both mostly been in the house, but like I went to go pick up food in Bixby Knowles, takeout order, obviously. Support your local restaurants.
Absolutely.
But I get on the 405 at about 6 p.m. and there's no one.
Yeah.
I mean, there was 10 seconds where I couldn't see another car on the 405 at 6 p.m. on a weeknight. And it was just like, this is just, I don't know.
When we do drive past that stuff, I also am pleased and excited. I think Mark Cuban put it best. If you're overreacting, you're doing the right thing.
If you feel like you're overreacting, good.
If you're driving down the freeway at 6 o'clock on whatever and it's empty, good.
It means people are following the guidelines, right, to keep each other safe that we're supposed to do. But but visually, it's definitely difficult. You know, I mentioned the offices of the Post are in downtown Long Beach. It's so weird driving through downtown Long Beach and not seeing anyone outside.
Yeah.
But you mentioned it. We've all seen on Twitter and stuff like the video of kids partying on the beach in Florida or something. And you're just like, that is actually what is scary.
That's the problem.
You know what I mean? The half-built Grand Prix stuff. No, that's good, like you said.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not the only breaking news. We also got breaking news from the CIF state offices yesterday/today, because today's news might change that news. The CIF state was waiting to officially cancel its spring championships, and it still has not officially canceled its spring championships, saying, in what I think is just beautifully put language,
it's very heroic,
today's not the day to decide this.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The day may come when we cancel these events, but today is not that day. So what that means, if you are a sports fan in Long Beach, is obviously you're aware that nothing's being played right now. What the NCAA has already done is they canceled all the spring championships. That means, say,
College World Series, done. There's no way the Dirtbags are coming back.
Say Thanos snapped his fingers tomorrow and got rid of COVID-19. The spring season for college sports is done.
Yes.
There's no one's coming back. No one's playing for anything. In high school, were there somehow to be a giant vacuum cleaner? I'm just coming up with science fiction solutions to this.
The
a vacuum
TV
cleaner
movie
that pulled
references
the whole
in this
virus
show
up.
Are off the charts right now.
The door is open for high school sports to resume because those championships are still on the book. So you would have that end date that you're playing towards.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, I think within an hour of the CIF state saying, hey, we're not going to cancel everything yet, Gavin Newsom had his press conference and mentioned almost in an offhand way that he didn't think that the public schools would be back in session for this school year.
Yeah, preparing people for those possibilities, I think, is his job. So
yeah, for sure. But if that's the case, then obviously, you know, the state championship track meet becomes a small consideration, and
yes,
there's no way it's going to be held.
For sure. And not only a small consideration, but like one of the things that will send a message to people that we're not getting back to it very quickly.
Right.
This is going to be a lot longer than you might even think of it right now.
Yeah, and I think that's something, you know, I hope everyone's getting the message from everywhere of what they're supposed to do, right? I mean, we did that last week. We'll do it again right now. I hope that's settled in for everyone. I hope no one's still fighting against that, because the longer this closure is, the more you need to kind of relax into the idea of it just so you don't go crazy.
Right.
You know, you got to cut yourself some slack. I've seen a lot of people like, I'm not going to let this slow down my training or whatever else. Like, let it disrupt your life. It's a fairly huge deal. It's okay if you're missing a month of training. It's okay if you spend a couple nights just talking to your parents or your friends and trying to keep yourself calm and stable, because, you know, the indications are this could be a lot longer than the initial reports came out about it being. I don't think this is going to be, hey, it's a 3-week closure and everyone's back. It's more likely to be 3 months than it is 2 or 3 weeks. You know?
We were talking about those exact facts with Long Beach State Athletic Director Andy Fee on the LB Fee show that you can also check out at the562.org, and talking about what the war room was like for them trying to make those decisions. We're pretty sure that the no fans rule for the Big West Conference Tournament, which just ended up being Long Beach State women's basketball hosting a game, the first game, we think,
It was the first game in the country that had no spectators.
And then you also have the softball team playing one of the very last spring sports games
before the closure.
Before the closure on Friday, so a lot of stuff happening at Long Beach State, and we talked a lot about how when the movement of information happens in those situations, Andy Fee and Long Beach State really aren't making any decisions.
Organizing bodies' decisions.
It does come down to the conference and the CEOs of the conference, as he refers to them, the presidents of the university, and all that stuff. They basically vote on what they think they're going to do, but it happened so fast. For example, the Long Beach State Dirtbags took off from LAX ready to play a series, and by the time they landed, spring sports for the Big West had been postponed, if not already canceled, and they were already looking for plane flights home to California. I mean, that's within the span of just a couple of hours. And so you can check out that show, but I did want to talk a little bit about what we talked about on there with the way that that information flows in those situations.
So, and I do really encourage everyone to listen to that episode, because our goal with it, and, you know, JJ was in touch with the Dirtbags. I was in touch with Andy Fee. He and I spoke, I think, 5 times that day. And so I got to experience in real time with him and for our readers the most surreal day of my career, of our career, of, I think, sports history in Long Beach, right? Wednesday night, the NBA canceled. And I think everyone knew that really made it clear that there were going to be big changes. But just to sum it up, like, at various points in that day, we mentioned at the top of the show, we woke up Thursday thinking we're covering a spectatorless Big West basketball tournament and then a men's volleyball match that could decide an NCAA tournament berth between Long Beach State and UC Santa Barbara. Then the basketball game gets canceled. I'm talking to Andy Fee. You know, they shut down the tournament. He has to call Dan Munson and say, for the first time in your entire life, in any of our entire lives, this thing's not going to happen. But there was still a thought that, okay, maybe UC Irvine as the regular season champion goes to the NCAA tournament. So later in the day, the NCAA tournament gets canceled. But we're still thinking at that point, I'm still telling my wife, 7 p.m. at the Pyramid, I'm going to a men's volleyball match, because it was still on the books. So they put out then the restriction of, okay, it's only going to be 150 people allowed. So basically the media and family of the players are the only people that are going to be allowed in the Pyramid. They start putting signs out in the Pyramid saying, you know, sit this far apart from each other and everything. Then, right, and you're still thinking maybe the Dirtbags get to the College World Series because maybe that stuff's happening. Pretty quickly, the NCAA cancels all the spring championships. And then obviously the Big West and by extension Long Beach State.
What are you
going
to do at that point?
If you're not completely shutting it down.
If you're not planning to go to the championship, then why are you playing a season?
Exactly. But so in the span of one day, you go from business as usual with no fans in some places to the year's over.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting the way Andy spoke about when they made that decision. Kind of the feeling in the room was, okay, this is going to be the decision that we stick with for a while. We're not going to have fans here. Maybe that continues on into the spring sports, blah, blah, blah. And I think that all of us in a let's just stay positive wanted that to be true.
Right.
But I think deep down, especially after the NBA announced their move on Wednesday, I think the NBA really did make the move that the whole world needed, where it was like, billionaires are deciding to sacrifice money for the greater good. It's time that we all start paying attention.
But I think also as these positive tests have come out on the NBA, it's clear that...
But that came after the fact. Like the
no,
NBA
no, no, no.
Did...
That's what, but I'm saying it's become clear that... Because I think at the time, everyone felt like, oh, wow, Rudy Gobert has it. They're trying to be precautionary.
No, the NBA knew it was going to get worse.
Yeah, well, and I think that's... I mean, the fact that... You want to talk about as strange as our day was, living in the spaces between those dominoes falling down... You know, the NBA, those guys were on the floor for that Jazz Thunder game when the game was canceled. I mean, they left and they were waving at the fans.
Going back to the locker rooms that I'm sure were already infected.
Right.
Like, let's be really honest. If you know the travel schedule for these teams, you know that there's no possible way one guy gets this in a locker room in the NBA and multiple other teams who have then been in that locker room since then weren't also at risk.
Well, I think
I'm not at all shocked that we got the news that we got about the Brooklyn Nets.
No, but I think that's the point is, like, in retrospect, when we look back on all this stuff, you know, in June or July, it's going to feel like this was all really obvious.
Yeah.
And on Thursday, it wasn't. You know, you mentioned you had a deep down feeling. I really thought, you know, and Andy said it, I thought he put it perfectly. In sports, everything you're doing is trying to figure out how to keep moving forward. And so I just felt like, okay, this is going to be weird, but, you know, I'm going to go cover this men's volleyball match with no fans there tonight and a swim meet with no fans there the next day. And, you know, my job's more, I really felt a sense of service. Like, my job is going to be more important than it's ever been before, because we're really going to have to tell everyone what happened. Like, I was thinking maybe for the swim meet, I'm doing a 2-hour long video. Like, let's make sure that everyone can see what happened in these races, you know? And again, to be clear, of course we felt like this stuff was going to go on. It's never been canceled. The Polly Wilson swim meet is 100 years old, and it's never been canceled.
You also just don't want that to be the case.
Of course.
You don't want them to cancel schools, because then you run into situations like having kids with nowhere to go, having kids without supervision, having kids not able to eat. We talked about this on the podcast last week. There are a lot of kids who are dependent on the meal plan at their school during the school year to eat. That's a simple fact.
So,
and it was great to see. I just got a shout out. Long Beach Unified School District, everybody on the school board, the community organizers who helped this, the people who actually showed up to do it, shout out. Absolutely proud to be LBUSD today, knowing that there are people who stepped up and made sure that those food services weren't going to stop, even if kids weren't in school. And Mike, you did an absolutely great job on that story that you can read right now at Long Beach Post.
Yeah, so I think that's a good transition. You know, we've been talking about sports. That's obviously why you subscribe to the show. That's why you listen. It's almost certainly why you know who JJ and I are. But, you know, sports, you really see – you do see how important it is, I think. You know, we mentioned last week the NBA is who kind of started the ball rolling on realizing this stuff.
I'm going to talk about it in my column that I'm going to mention in a few minutes about that leadership. Yeah.
But you also see, obviously, you know, that it's a piece of a much larger and more important puzzle. And, yeah, the school district announcing on Friday that it was going to close down, I think in this city where 1 in every 7 residents is a student in the Long Beach Unified School District, this is not a city like most cities in America where the very wealthy send their kids to private schools. We are still a city where the school district is representative of every aspect of our society. And to shut that down, our largest employer, the biggest cultural institution in the city, I think that showed everyone really how significant what's happening is.
And that's the reason why I think, for me, just speaking for myself, but also for a lot of people who love Long Beach sports, that's why we love Long Beach sports, right? It's not all the same.
Yes.
It is so diverse. The school district does reflect the city. And in that way, when the school district has something happen to it, it feels like something's happened to the city.
And so that's what played out. But, you know, they had said, we'd heard from several people in the school district, the reason that they did not shut down on Wednesday or Thursday is they were thinking about all of the kids that rely on the school district for, you know, not just the lunch, man, for breakfast and lunch,
yep,
for, you know, most of the food that you're eating over the course of the day, as well as other services that they're getting at the schools. And they, to their credit, by the time they announced what they were doing, they also had the plan in place that this week, from 8 to 9 a.m. and from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m., every school in the city will have free food. 5,100 meals were given out on Monday. It was up to 6,900 on Tuesday because it rained on Monday and the word of mouth spread a little bit more.
Yeah.
One of the school board members told me that they'd heard that kids literally showed up on Tuesday and were like, you know, I heard you were doing this, but I didn't believe it until my friend showed me a picture of the food that she had or
support
whatever.
Support local journalism. It's important.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think that I'm hoping more kids will be able to take advantage of that. It's worth noting the school, because so many kids are on meal plans, the schools have the food and they have to cook it.
Yeah.
You know, the stuff that's in the refrigerators has to get made. So that's one of the reasons that you're seeing every site open. The other thing that does is it allows for the social distancing, which I think is really important. That Los Angeles Unified School District, which has 10 times as many students as LBUSD, initially came out and was only going to have one place to go pick up food, which is really dangerous.
Yeah, that ain't it.
So the LBUSD, I think in the coming weeks, you'll see less locations. It won't be everywhere, but hopefully still plenty throughout the city to where every neighborhood has access.
And we're going to keep you up to date on that stuff because, like I said, support local journalism. This is why
this
journalists
is what we're here for.
Are here.
Yeah, for
Long Beach Post, the 562.org. This is the reason why we're here.
And I want to throw out there, you know, I was surprised. We live in East Long Beach. Significantly lower percentage of kids at my son's school are on the meal plan than would be the case at, you know, Jordan, where my wife teaches, or, you know, Polly or Wilson. Yeah. And I was surprised that his elementary school had the same number of people on Monday get lunch there as Wilson High School did. And the principal, I think one of the really smart things the school district did was every principal is stationed outside of their school for this week as part of this meal plan thing. And, you know, the principal said, what we've seen a lot of is high school age kids who are maybe Milliken students or Poly kids or Wilson kids who are bringing their younger siblings by because they've got to watch their younger sibling, first of all. And, you know, a fourth grader feels more comfortable going to an elementary school than they do a big high school or whatever. But I think on top of that, it's just been really nice for people. The principals are sort of, especially for the comprehensive high schools, the mayor of a small town. I mean, if you're the principal at Poly Wilson, you've got 3,000 to 4,000 kids and hundreds of employees that are responsible to you. I think it's just been really good for everyone. Like, my son was so happy to see his principal yesterday. You know, a shutdown, even just a couple of days into this thing, it's so disruptive for kids of any age. Their schedule and their routine is really important to them, whether you're a first grader like my son or you're a high school quarterback, right, who's got their routine of practicing and training. And I think just that little bit of, oh, here's a smiling face that I know and I recognize, is really beneficial to kids. So I want to commend them not just for the food plan, which is so important, and which, like we said, they've already given out over 10,000 free meals, but to have it be people that you recognize there, I think has been really important too.
Absolutely. Again, check that story out at Long Beach Post. And it's leadership, right? In times like these, we need our leaders to step up. These are the points in which they need to gear up and make sure that we're taken care of. And that also exists in the world of sports. I wrote a column right now that's available at the562.org talking about leadership and how leadership can come from sports. We mentioned it. The NBA's decision on Wednesday was huge, and it definitely sent a message. That's a form of leadership. Obviously, there's the more literal leadership, like the stuff from your coaches. And there's a lot of coaches who had to give a lot of unforgettable and really horrible speeches to their teams last week, telling them that their season was over, that things that they had
worked. Maybe their career is over.
That's so hard for their careers, just these moments. That's what sports are. That's what life is. It's just a collection of good moments. And they were basically robbed of that moment. So what do you tell a 16, 17-year-old kid that you've told them, I will protect you, I will guide you, and then in that moment, that's exactly what you need to do? It's tough. And I talked to Eric Valenzuela about it. Obviously, you know the dirtbag story. Ranked as high as number 12 when the season was officially canceled. They were on their way to Tulsa, had to come back. Season does get canceled. They meet one last time in the clubhouse at Bull Diamond at Blair Field. Talked to a couple of the players and the coaches. And they just said Valenzuela did a really good job of giving them a little bit of perspective, right? These days are perspective adjusters. These are the days that make us not take things for granted. These are the days that we look back on and say, well, at least it's not as bad as blank, or this is the way I will now view sports. Because yes, sports are unnecessary in a way, but they're also a huge part of the American fabric and the social fabric, and the decisions that are made in sports, and then obviously the life lessons that kids learn in sports is the way that we form a society. You know what I mean? It's not an accident that a lot of the presidents of the United States of America have also played sports when they were growing up. Like, these are where you learn those life lessons, and to get life lessons in such a hard, difficult time right now is even more important. And to hear from some of the players that Eric Valenzuela's message that you are not going to be forgotten, and his advice to, you know, take things in stride and keep balance in your life, I think was so important, because without leadership, that's when things truly fall apart. And I think that the kids who saw their coaches be leaders last week are better prepared for whatever comes in the future. Those decisions and those speeches and those moments are so important for what's going to happen next. And as a member of the Long Beach sports community myself, I am just so happy that Long Beach sports is full of people that I think are up for that, prepared for that, and can execute that. You can definitely read that column at the562.org right now.
I thought it was a great piece. I think everything you just said is exactly on point. That leadership is going to have – I would say this. The leadership is going to have to come from everyone. I have a wife and two kids at home. I feel a responsibility to keep them calm and safe and happy to the extent that's possible. My kids still think this is a fun vacation right now.
Right.
I think the coaches have a leadership role to play. I think the leaders of the schools and of the school district and of the city have a role to play. And I think we need to listen to them, you know, and
do listen to smart people.
Listen to them. Do everything we can to try and make sure that that our community recovers from this as quickly as possible.
And it's not just the local Long Beach sports community that's getting affected as well. And those are going to be some of the stories that we're going to be telling you here at Long Beach Post 562.org. Those stories about Long Beach athletes and how they're affected. For example, I kind of took the baseball angle because I feel like baseball is going to be. I keep getting that vision of James Earl Jones in Field of Dreams talking about baseball. There will always be baseball. I think the return of baseball, whenever it happens, is kind of going to be the signal to everybody that we're back, we're going to be okay, we're going to get through this, because baseball hadn't started yet. So when it does start, that might be, you know, the flare gun of survival for people in our situation and others.
Right.
So I wanted to kind of get a feel for how baseball was dealing with it. Obviously, the guys who are set up as pros are probably going to be fine. Got homes. They've got, you know, they're living in the either where they're playing or where they do spring training. But then there's other guys like our guy Chris Betts with the Tampa Bay Rays organization, or Long Beach State shortstop Garrett Hampson, who's with the Colorado Rockies, who aren't really on solid footing in general. They're minor league prospects. They're guys who are trying to make the major league roster every spring training. And when you find yourself in those situations where you really don't know the answers, in a time where no one knows the answers, I mean, you're really left with nowhere to go. Like, Hampson's going to stay in Arizona and continue to work out at the Rockies facility as long as he possibly can, because he told me that's his only option. When they close that, he really doesn't know what he's going to do. He might need to go home to Reno, Nevada and find another place to work out and basically, as he said, stay ready.
Right.
He's just trying to stay ready.
So, I mean, and, you know, obviously we've covered a lot of kids that are now in the minor leagues, but, you know, Ty Tiedemann had the same thing, just sent home. The good news for some of these guys, for Betts in particular, the Rays just announced, along with the Dodgers, that they will continue to pay their minor leaguers throughout the suspension. Now, that's such a pitifully small amount of money.
It really is. To put that into perspective, we're talking about like $400.
Correct. And so
that's not a joke.
No,
what these guys get paid.
It's ridiculous that they have not all already come out and said that, because it's a drop in the bucket for any of these major league teams. But it is at least some sense that these guys can hold on to that. There's a continuation here. You're not running off that cliff, you know.
But Betts was quick to laud the whole Rays organization and tell me how much he was impressed with how prepared they were. They were ready to go on Friday with all the information that they were able to give those guys. They were already ready to help them with their reimbursement for their travel home. The Rays actually told Betts that they were ready to, if you had signed a lease. You know, okay, I'm going to make this team, so I'm signing a lease to get my home in this city. If you had signed a lease, they were going to help you get that deposit back. They were going to pay you to help you get that deposit back, which is somebody going above and beyond, because at the end of the day, contract's a contract. You know what I mean? So the Rays and the Dodgers are really stepping up. But even Betts in that situation is like, okay, what do I do now? I'm from California. You know, I'm here to try to make a team and then figure out where I'm going to live after that. I'm in a hotel. You know what I mean? So these guys basically got booted from the hotel and they were sent home. And so I was talking to Betts for this article that you can read at the 562.org right now about local boys in the pros. He's driving home.
Right.
You know what I mean? I can hear his radar gun, radar thing beeping in his car, making sure he doesn't get a ticket trying to get home as fast as possible.
If you give anyone a speeding ticket on an open highway right now, you got to reevaluate your life priorities.
Yeah. So he didn't even take anything, right? He just left everything there, grabbed some clothes, sweatshirt from spring training. It just came back to Long Beach, and he's planning one of the coolest things I think that's going to come out of this story, and hopefully we'll find some more cool stories like this. We'll probably hopefully get out there and video it for you a little bit, or maybe he'll send us a video. He bought the house across the street from his parents, and across the street from his parents is a 10-year-old kid who's got a batting cage in his backyard. So Betts is going to work out at his house and then go over and hit in this kid's backyard. The kid that he was so jealous of that had the cage in his backyard while growing up. Now Betsy is going to be on the street he grew up in, trying to stay, as Garrett Hampson said, stay ready, because you don't really know when baseball is going to come back. That's such a down-home Long Beach story. I absolutely love it. And you can read the update of Hampson and Betts and all those guys in the LB and MLB story that's at the562.org.
Another great job on that story. And I would just say the biggest question we've gotten from everyone is, you know, what are we going to be doing? What's our coverage going to look like? And I would say it's going to look a lot like what JJ just described. I mean, I think at least in the next couple weeks, you know, there'll be more news to report, obviously, you know, as there's more cancellations or as the picture starts to clarify, hopefully, you know, hopefully that happens. But, you know, we're going to be talking to a lot of athletes, pro athletes from Long Beach who are overseas, trying to deal with this, trying to figure out if they can get home to their families.
Which really is a completely different situation.
Yeah. High school athletes, seniors who appear to have possibly had their, you know, their careers ended.
That's who my heart breaks for the most. Because I think that there's a possibility, you can hear more about this conversation on the LB Fee Show. I think there's a possibility where they find a way to give college athletes extended eligibility, whether that be the seniors, everybody who's in college, whatever it is. They're working on that. There's really no way to work on giving a senior spring athlete their season back. It's just impossible. And that's, I said it last week on the pod,
it's
man.
Really painful.
I can't, as a kid who played sports in high school,
that's how, what you're playing for.
All of my eggs were in that basket, dude. All of them.
Well, and that's what you're playing for. You're playing for that, hey, we won a championship, and then I'm at prom the next night. And, you know, I mean, I think of the Polly and Wilson kids that that I've covered where they literally would win a CIF championship, you know,
the track athletes, yeah.
And then they'd race home, and we got the champagne party. We got to get ready to go to prom. I mean, you're missing out on stuff that, you know, listen, if you're an athlete who's listening to this, you're going to hear people around you saying there's bigger things people are worried about. And that's absolutely true. People are worried about those things. But, you know, we've gotten to cover a lot of these moments. They are once in a lifetime moments.
We feel you.
And you should give yourself the space to be depressed about it and be sad about it, because it sucks, man. Like, it is an experience that is an important thing that hopefully other things are going to step up and be able to replace some of those experiences for you guys. But it's really hard. I think back on my senior high school, it's of all my time in school, including college, probably one of my favorite times of my life. And it just sucks, man. You feel for all those kids.
On that tip, don't cancel graduation. Just postpone it. Even if
you have graduation in 2 years, that's better than having it. That's better than not having
fine.
It, you know?
Yes.
And I mean, I come from a family where both my parents had master's degrees. Like, I was expected to graduate from college by the time I was a week old.
No offense, Mike, but graduation ain't for you, dude. It's for your parents. It's for the people who have put in all that work to set you up
but
to succeed.
But that's what I'm saying.
I was there for my parents at graduation. Right. I just want the parents of Long Beach to not be,
But I'm just saying, even for us, it was still such an important thing for our parents, but we've covered so many kids. It's my favorite story. We talk about it every year on signing day. The kids who are the first people in their family to go to college. And we cover kids who they're the first people in their families that are going to graduate from high school. You know, you can't let them lose that. Those kids will come back in October.
Without question.
You know, they'll come back whenever, wherever.
We're going to be so hungry for coverage, we might just show up to the graduations and cover the graduations.
Oh, absolutely.
Give out awards for best acceptance.
Right, for sure. But, I mean, you've got to give people the chance, because we're all going to want this so bad when this stuff is over. And it will be over. We're all going to want that opportunity to go and cheer for our loved ones.
Absolutely.
So hang on to that hope, if nothing else.
I wrote in the column about how the NBA changing their plan really changed the plan of everyone else. So just real quick, I mean, do you feel like we will see NBA basketball in 2020? Because I mentioned earlier, I think the return of baseball will be the return of regular life in one way, shape, or form for people who are so involved in sports as you and I or other people who are athletes. Basketball, I feel like right now, is going to be the next shoe to drop that's going to really kick everybody in the gut.
It's going to hurt.
That we're not going to get playoff basketball in July or whatever.
They're holding on to hope that they'll be able to do it later in the summer. I think it's going to be really – like, here's what I'd say. I cut next season in half if you need to. But I think if you can do anything –
interesting idea.
I think it would
– something you and I have said so many times on this pod, like, just start basketball season on New Year's Day.
Start it on Christmas. I don't think – I mean, if you're asking America and basketball fans to prioritize what they would like to happen, having some kind of a conclusion to this season means more to me – than any kind of normalcy for next season.
Yes.
Personally. Okay. So from my perspective, it's...
But for the closure of the community.
For the closure of not everything, just the sport. Dude. I mean, yes, I just like...
I totally
for the closure
agree.
Of not having a big black hole in the middle of the profession of the sport that we invented in this country.
Yeah.
You know, find a way to close the loop on that thing and finish it out. If it's best of three series, if it's a March Madness tournament, you're only
if they play it on the Venice Beach courts,
whatever it is,
I will
find a way to close the book on it.
I will have as many FaceTimes up as possible. We're Google Chroming party this thing. I want to make this a social experiment experience, even if there's no fans in the stands, which I think is the line, right? I mean, LeBron has come out, other people have come out saying, to play games in front of empty stadiums defeats the purpose of sports.
I said it last week after covering that women's basketball game. Like, this isn't sports. We shouldn't be doing this.
Here's the thing, though. I don't know if baseball teams like the Rays and the Dodgers can continue to pay people, not just minor leaguers, but major leaguers as well, without television revenue.
You and I could pay the minor leaguers.
I mean. But, like, when those other paychecks come up, you know, in a couple months, TV revenue does a lot for Major League Baseball. And if there is a sport, if there is one sport that can be played without fans in the stands and still kind of get by, if I had to pick one, it would be baseball. Because it's a park sport. So it's wide open. It's outside.
So you're just throwing marble racing under the bus then? Marble racing is dead to you? You're a baseball guy all the way now?
Marble racing and curling replays. Saving my life right now.
What I thought we could end the podcast on is just what you've been doing, what I've been doing. I have had this return to childhood with my kids where, I don't know about you, I do know that you were the same as me. My brother and I made up sports all the time.
Living room hockey. Ryan,
that's all we did.
We talked about living room hockey at my sister's wedding, for goodness
right.
sake.
We made up a sport called garage ball that was like, we had a hoop in our driveway, and it was like, in order to shoot, you had to bang yourself into the garage. So you know what I mean? So, and then you'd push people to try and make it harder and everything else. It was like a hockey... Getting checked in hockey mixed with basketball.
I'm sure your younger brother, Matt, was just making up rules as the game went along.
Yeah, we'd play roof ball where it was like six flies up. There's only two of us, so you'd throw it up on the roof, and then as it rolled down. Right, like that's what it's been like with my son and my daughter, because it's just like we got to have 2 hours of you're exercising your body. You're getting some adrenaline going and keeping – I mean, you need the serotonin. You need to keep your brain functioning, and it's a creative thing too. You know what I mean? So – yeah, we've been doing a lot of that. I hope everyone else out there is too. If you've got any videos of any weird sports or competitions you're finding a way to get in while practicing safe social distancing, please tag us on that or send it to us for sure.
The one we've been doing most that's probably also the most boring is reorganizing.
Everyone's houses are going to be so freaking clean.
Reorganizing the clothes and everything, dude. It's a Marie Kondo fest over at over at the Fiddler household. Finally, I'm figuring out my wife's got too many clothes for the amount of drawer space that we have in our house. She's not happy with this realization, but once you get all the clothes clean, then you really see how many clothes you have.
Right, yeah, it's great. No, we're going to be – our house will be dramatically transformed for sure.
Have you guys been watching anything? I know we did this on the LB Fee show.
Are we going to end on recommendations?
I think recommendations should continue. I think they should be recommendations for things you could do inside. You know, get out there. This is one of our favorite shows is Sports Night. We've mentioned this on this show as well. When we first started podcasting,
is streaming somewhere,
we called it Sports Night. It's not yet, but I'll work on it.
So what, are we going to lend people the DVDs?
No, what I was going to say is in Sports Night, one of the things that they do is they play this game called Celebrities, where you basically just write names of famous people on a piece of paper. You put it into a hat. This is a game that you could play with people over the phone. If you're FaceTiming with family or whatever, you don't have to be in the same room. It really is just like Pictionary with people. So if I wrote Bill, Bill Burr or something, it'd be
right.
Like Boston comedian, didn't get into comedy till late. You would guess it. You would get the point. Doing that with a large group of people, with a lot of people who know the same people and don't,
right,
is very entertaining. So check out.
You can do that on Google Hangout.
You could do that remotely.
So
absolutely.
Yeah, I like that. We have not jumped into board games yet, which I'm interested to do. Our kids like board games, but we don't ever play them because the internet exists.
You got to find games like Celebrity where it doesn't take a board and you all don't have to have the same equipment. Everybody's got a piece of paper and a pen.
Right.
Right. You got to think of those games or, ooh, Mike. You just blew my mind.
Can we figure out a way to play
Battleship? Can we make like a Battleship board and just start playing Battleship?
That would have to be on the honor system, but yes. But I think we can do
all
that.
Board games on the honor system?
Yeah. My
says the guy who's always the bank in Monopoly. Anyways, keep going.
My recommendation, which I gave on the Fee Show as well, is Curb Your Enthusiasm. I think this season's one of the best seasons they've had.
Yes.
We've just been – it's like – you mentioned catching up on Pranos. Like, Shar and I, there's a couple big time dramas. Like, we haven't watched Breaking Bad.
That's great. If you
so
were
people
not.
People have talked about catching up on that. But the way we are, like, I would really appreciate good comedy recommendations.
Fair
because
play.
I don't need to end the night on, everything's really horrible. Like, we've got that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, watching everybody in Sopranos kiss on the cheek and all that stuff, you're probably like, wow, this is really pre-virus television. If you have not seen The Sopranos, and you're not using this time to watch The Sopranos, you're just doing it wrong. And that leads me into Plex. Make sure you reach out. Somebody might have it. It's actually relatively affordable. It's an app that you can get on your smart TV. And on Plex, for example, even if you don't have an HBO account, you can watch what Mike was talking about. Curb Your Enthusiasm, old HBO shows like Sopranos. They actually also have like new movies. Like, my wife hated it, but I needed to see why she hated Little Women. So I was able to watch the first 10 minutes of Little Women and, like, I got it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's really cool. So check out Plex as well. We're going to have a bunch of recommendations. If you don't follow us on social media, the562.org,
and
562 us, Sports.
Certainly. Yeah,
also definitely. Recommend us. Like, we're just going to be out here talking to you guys because that's what we love to do. That's why we got into this thing, was to support and give you the sports coverage that you deserve. In these times, we can't do that, but we're still going to figure out a way to give you Long Beach sports coverage, like the LB and MLB story that we wrote, the columns, the updated news, the updated information, as well as, and I think this is going to be a lot of fun, we're thinking about going back and finding classic spring games, baseball, softball, track, swimming, and recalling the highlights, like a DVD type director's commentary. I think that could be fun. So if you've got an idea, if you've got a game that you're thinking about, I know you Lakewood baseball people out there are like, oh, we've got a few.
Yeah, for sure.
We've got a few. I'm thinking that Lakewood Edison game would be a lot of fun to recall. So hit us up on the website, via email, on social media, whatever. What classic Long Beach State games do you want us to check out? Let's start with the spring, but let's be honest. If this thing lasts a little bit longer, we might be dipping into the fall pretty soon.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, so there you go. That's everything you need. We're going to be here whether we're recording. I'll say this. Whether we're recording via Skype or whatever, if a lockdown goes into effect or a shelter in place, we're still going to find a way to get this podcast out. The audio quality might not be as pristine as it is with the full studio set up here at the Post, but we'll find ways to make sure that the content keeps coming to you guys. And stick with us. We got some fun stuff. We're going to try and find a way to make this fun as we're all locked in together over the next couple weeks.
Quick shout out to the Long Beach Post. They are still in here working, getting you that information. They've got a running blog kind of thing, a live updates deal on the website that you can kind of bookmark and make sure you're getting the most up-to-date information on this thing that specifically pertains to Long Beach. Support Long Beach Post. Support the562.org. Support everybody in your community right now. We all need it. So for Mike and for JJ and for everybody else who make those websites possible, thank you, and we'll see you very soon.